be here
with all of you at the Conyers Church of Christ. I love this city, love this church. And I just have to say, every time I come in, it just kind of takes my breath away. It's a beautiful building. And even more beautiful people. Love your elders and appreciate your deacons and your staff. I know that you love them. It's great to be here. This is Be Better Weekend. How you doing? It's not really how I'm doing. It's how are you doing? Because we want you to leave here encouraged. We want you to leave here equipped, inspired, determined, ready to do a little more, be a little better in your life. And so as we began, we talk about being considerate. That's our thinking, right? And being then compassionate. That's about our heart. Now we're going to talk about being courteous. Okay? Jesus Christ was a social man. Amen? Some people think to practice religion, you need to go off by yourself in a cave and sit and meditate 24 hours a day. That wasn't Jesus, was it? He was out there with the people. And he would go to wedding feasts. I was over there, over in the Holy Land, touring around. And our tour guide showed us the house where the wedding feast took place at Cana of Galilee. I know it was it because the tour guide told me that was it, okay? But I do believe this, whether that was the house, Jesus attended weddings. And he went to other banquets and feasts. Sometimes he went and he would spend time with people on the fringes of society. And people would say, why is he eating with these sinners? Other times he would go and he would eat with more prominent people. And those were interesting times because in those situations, they were often inviting him, not because they really wanted to know him or honor him. And they spent a lot of time watching. Have you ever felt like that when you've gone somewhere? People are watching me and just waiting for me to say something or do something inappropriate. So they're watching him. You know what? Jesus was watching them too. It says in the text of this chapter, in Luke chapter 14, he noticed something about them. He was watching them. He wasn't trying to put them down. He wasn't trying to embarrass them. He wanted to elevate them. And how they would respond to his teaching at these occasions really revealed a lot about their hearts. Now, on this occasion, in the passage that was read from Luke chapter 14, Jesus is at this banquet. And at banquets, seating arrangements in the first century were a big deal. Now, at your house, I don't know if seating arrangements are a big deal. If you have company, they just sit where they want to. I don't know. But in the first century, they went to great efforts to make sure they had people in the right places. And your proximity to the host said something about his regard for you. And it could be because of age or it could be because of your status, but somehow it indicated something about his regard for you. Now, on the occasion that we read about in Luke chapter 14, they didn't have any seating arrangement. This was unusual. And what was Jesus noticing? He was noticing the way that people kind of slyly would jockey for positions. Because you didn't want to just run to the front, but they were kind of in a socially acceptable way maneuvering. And he said, you know, this is interesting. They gravitate to the higher seats rather than the lower seats. Well, duh, you know. This is what's going on. Now, the thing with Jesus is he notices that this simple choice makes a clear, crystal clear statement about their philosophy about life, how they live their lives, what's important to them. And so he's going to bring that to their attention. Let's go back to the text. We'll look at it a little closer. In Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 7, he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed, he was watching them, how they chose the places of honor. And here's what he said to them. When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, I don't think it would just be a wedding feast, but when you're invited somewhere, do not. Now, if Jesus says do not, I think we ought to pay attention, don't you? All right, so he's saying, pay attention, do not sit down in a place of honor. Don't do that. And then he explains why. He says, lest someone more distinguished than you, of course, I can't imagine who would be more distinguished than me. Maybe this doesn't apply to me, but he says, just in case somebody more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will then come and say to you, give your place to this person. You wouldn't mind, would you? Give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lower place. Ugh, how mortifying, how humiliating. But when you are invited, he says, let me tell you what you could do. He says what to not do. Do not rush in and take the head chair, the place of honor. Don't do that. But he says, here's what you do. When you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place. That's what you need to do. So that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Move up higher. And then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. Instead of being embarrassed, you're going to be honored. And he ends with this statement. This is one of those maxims that Jesus would often end with a maxim. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, in this case, he says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. We're done. Okay. Is lunch ready, Jeff? Okay. We're going to be watching where you sit. I want you to know this, okay, when we go to lunch. You know, when you look at this story, it looks like it's just crystal clear, right? It's just very straightforward. But I want to suggest to you that maybe there are different levels of understanding in this parable. Is that possible? Okay. So let's start with the surface meaning. I think you got the surface meaning. What Jesus says is when you go someplace and you take that position of honor, somebody may come in after you. A lot of times prominent people arrive late. Maybe they want to make a show. They want everybody to see them. Maybe it's because they're busy. That's why they're successful. They're busy. I don't know, but he says they may come in later than you. And then you're going to find yourself embarrassed. He says, you know what? This is totally avoidable. It is completely and totally avoidable. All you have to do is select the lower seat. If you'll select the lower seat, you are in zero danger of being humiliated. And there is a mighty good chance that you'll even be exalted in front of your peers. Now, when you look at that, you say, okay, this is very practical. This sounds like the book of Proverbs, doesn't it? The book of Proverbs talks about wise and foolish, and it gives us advice about practical advice about how to live your life, how to get along in the world. And it sounds very much like that. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think Jesus' only concern here is getting you a box seat? Or sparing you from a bruised ego? I don't know. I don't think so. It seems to me that you look at it and you see that there is this surface meaning, but maybe there's a deeper meaning. Maybe, just maybe, there's a deeper meaning. Maybe the problem isn't the specific behavior. Maybe the problem is the underlying attitude. The underlying attitude. So it's not just faux pas, but it is a me-first mindset that he's talking about. Me first. When we think about ourselves first, we think about ourselves most, he says you're going to have problems in your life. So what we want to do is to stop and take this from just a specific application. Okay, when I'm sitting somewhere, I need to think about taking the lower seat and understand that what he's really talking about is that we need a you first attitude that goes with us everywhere, whatever it is that we're doing. And he says the real key here is humility, right? You can humble yourself or you can suffer humiliation. Either way, it's going to happen. You can do it proactively. You can do it preemptively. It's going to be more pleasant if you'll humble yourself. And so he gives some practical advice here about a mindset that can help us. He says humility is the key, right? What's the problem then? The problem is pride, thinking too much of ourselves. So that in our pride, when I take the chief seat, I think that's a very sensible thing for me to take the first. It's a very deserving thing because what? I'm proud. I'm arrogant. I'm conceited. And it makes me insensitive to other people. So I've got to be careful. I've got to be careful. When I am proud, then instead of having empathy for others, their needs go unknown. And I get into a great deal of trouble. I just want you to think for a minute what a you first mindset looks like. It's a whole different way of living. It's like when you go to a public building and you're about to get on the elevator. You can barge right in if you want to, or you might step back and wait till people exit. I think that's a you first kind of attitude. I think you see that wonderful attitude when you're driving down the road. And when I decide I paid my taxes, I'll drive in the left lane if I feel like it. And people can't pass, and maybe there's somebody with a medical emergency, and maybe there's somebody who needs to get home to an unattended child. There could be any number of circumstances. You see, when I have a you first attitude, I'll use that lane when I need to pass, but otherwise, at least if somebody's coming, I'm going to get out of the way. When you go to the coffee shop, a you first attitude says, if I have a full charge on my laptop, I'm not going to sit by the only receptacle in this restaurant. I'm thinking about somebody else. I know this is kind of weird, but I'll always choose the bottom plug so that somebody can get to the top one easier. I mean, that's kind of silly. But I mean, you just begin to think about others in small ways. I think a you first mindset is one where you have manners. I think that's where you say, may I? And please? And thank you. Some people say, well, that's just silly stuff. No, I don't think so. All of our efforts to show consideration for other people, that's what manners are all about. I see you. I care about you. You're important to me. That's not insignificant. Not insignificant at all. My wife, did you know she can open a car door? She can. She doesn't get to. She doesn't get to because I'm going to go over there and I'm going to open that car door. She's perfectly capable. It's not about the car door. It's one more chance to say to her, I love you. I love you. I think it's not having to go first in line. It's not eating the last piece of pie thinking, well, nobody wants this, do they? Okay. No, you go ahead. Go ahead. It's when you sit down at the table, you wait till other people come and sit down before you launch into your food. And maybe, just maybe, you wait till they're finished before you get up and go turn on the ball game. I think you first is asking somebody, well, how did that make you feel? And actually listening. It's letting somebody, when they begin a sentence, be the one who finishes it. Wouldn't that be a great world? Great surprise. I think it's letting my wife choose what program we're going to watch or what restaurant we're going to eat at. I think it's putting the seat down in the bathroom so that I don't hear a scream in the middle of the night because someone has fallen in. There's a lot of different ways that this you first mindset shows itself. And really, it's about the little things. It's not the big things. It's the little things. It's a mindset that becomes a skill set that goes with us. I like country music. Does anybody like country music? Have you heard of an artist by the name? He's a songwriter named Mac McAnally. So if you haven't heard of him, you might pull this song up on Apple Music or Spotify or whatever your favorite streaming source is. But he wrote a song called You First. Has anybody heard that song by Mac First? In that song, he tells a story about two brothers. And in this story, he has three snapshots from different periods in their life. In the first scene of the story, they are strapping teenagers, and they're sitting there on the bank of a river. And they're saying, you first, okay? And they're daring each other, challenging each other. You first. I'll be right behind you. You first. I'll meet you on the other side. And so they're challenging each other about swimming the span of that river. In the next snapshot, they're in Vietnam. They're in a firefight. In that brief battle, both of them were shot. They've hurried over to the Huey helicopter, and they're going to be removed and taken to a MASH unit. But when they get to the helicopter, they find out there's only room for one more. And so each says to the other, you first. I'll be right behind you. You first. I'll meet you on the other side. You first took on a whole different meaning at that point. One that comes with maturity and personal growth and love. And the final scene is one of the brothers at the bedside of his sibling who's terminally ill and close to death. And he says, I can't believe that it's you first. But I'll be right behind you. You first. I'll meet you on the other side. You know, when you think about that story, you see how growth takes place as they go from a riverbank to the battlefield, to the hospital, You're seeing the growth that takes place as you get older, and hopefully as a Christian especially, you develop that mindset where we're not thinking about ourselves and insisting on what we want, but instead we live gracious lives and generous lives and truly become better people. But you know, I think there's more to this story. You know, on one hand, we can not take the best seat for ourselves, and we can also develop this mindset that's going to please God and help us get along in the world because we're not constantly in conflict with others because we're thinking about them more often. But maybe, just maybe, we go from a surface meaning to a deeper meaning to an ultimate meaning. What's he really talking about here? He's talking about a banquet, and oftentimes Jesus used banqueting scenes to talk about bigger themes. And you think about the host of the banquet, who might that be but God himself? And when you think about the people that he's talking to, some of these religious leaders, I call this the parable of the pushy guests, okay? What are they trying to do? Who is it that they want to push aside so that they can have the best seat? It's Jesus. So he's going from a me-first mindset, me-first behavior, to a you-first attitude, to him-first. Him-first faith. You want to get better, you put him first above all. Let me ask you a question. Who could better tell this story about giving up the best seats than Jesus Christ? We read in the book of Philippians in the second chapter how that he took on the form of a servant. He left heaven and came to this earth. Let me ask you, can you go any lower? Can you go any lower? Leaving heaven, coming to this earth, coming to an obscure village, being born in a manger. That wasn't an accident. It's a message. It's a message. It's an example. It's a model for you and me. And what happened when Jesus gave up his place and he lowered himself? Well, it tells us, when we go back to Philippians, and we read there in that second chapter, it tells us in verses 8 and 9, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that incredible? What happened? He took the lower seat, and God says, come up higher. Come up higher. And he was honored before all and will be honored again. It's a beautiful picture. But you know, it's possible for you and me. He talks about several stories here. The silliness and impracticality of a me-first behavior. And the advantages of a you-first mindset. And then the glory and blessings of a him-first faith. It's kind of like John the Baptist. You remember in John 3, verse 30, what did John the Baptist say? He must increase, and I must decrease. Him first. Or the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 7, when he says, I count all things lost for the sake of Christ, for the excellencies of knowing Christ. Him first. Him first. And the way I put him first is by putting you above myself. Now, let me tell you what happens. This is the most fascinating thing. When you go to the book of Ephesians, it says that when we get off the throne of our lives, when we give up the chief seat, and instead we put Jesus Christ there as our Savior, not just our Savior, but our Lord. I'm going to live for Him and I'm going to obey Him because He knows a lot better than me how things should be done in my life. But now look at this. I want you to see this, what happens when you give up that seat. It says in Ephesians, in the second chapter, as we begin reading here in verse 4, are you ready for this? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved. And listen to this, you ready? And raised us up with Him and seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Does that sound like the best seats? The best seats? You know, the fact is that our bodies are here on earth, but when you are baptized into Jesus Christ and you're raised to walk in newness of life, you have access to the best seats this side of eternity in your heart and in your mind. When you're here today worshiping in spirit and in truth, you're already there, aren't you? In your heart? When you set your affection on things above and not on the things on the earth, you're already there. When you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him, you're already there. And the limits of flesh and blood cannot keep your spirit from traveling to be with Him in the heavenly places. It's available to you at any time. At any time. All you have to do is lower yourself and then lift up Jesus. And just be listening, because the time is coming when He's going to tell you to come up higher. Come up higher. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, get yourself off that seat. Quit running your life. Quit all of the things that you're saying and doing that are pushing Jesus out of His rightful place on the throne of your life. Lower yourself. And God will honor you when you humble yourself. And He'll resurrect you. And He'll say to you one day, well done, good and faithful servant. And you can enter into that eternal joy in the heavenly places with the resurrected body. And until then, you're going to know more joy than you've ever known before, because every day, your heart and mind and soul resides in heavenly places. Do you need to become a Christian? Do you need to be restored? Why don't you come as we stand and sing?